Morning, everybody. A special welcome and thanks to each of you for being here. We love having you at the Augusta Road Church. Thank you so much for your attendance with us today. I want to talk about Jesus and his disciples and a particular episode in their relationship together. As you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, where we'll find the passage that I want to consider together today, let me say, as you're flipping to Matthew chapter 6, that I'm very, very happy. I'm very encouraged by how much talk we have been doing about prayer. Prayer is an incredible subject, and we've explored various aspects of it in sermons and in recent devotionals. And when you think about prayer, one passage kind of stands above them all, and it's the passage that hopefully you've turned to in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is delivering what is most commonly called the Lord's Prayer. I have my own little reasons for not really calling it the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is teaching his disciples here what their prayer should be like. This is a teaching prayer, or a model prayer, or a pattern prayer. When I think about the Lord praying, I think about John chapter 17, where Jesus is actually praying to God for the purpose of fulfilling the need that only prayer can satisfy. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is definitely praying. He's teaching his followers how to pray, and we're learning along with Jesus' disciples how we should be praying. I love Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 equals Matthew chapter 6. These two chapters describe the same event in Jesus' life. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, the disciples come to Jesus, and they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." I think that's a pretty incredible admission that Jesus' prayer life, Jesus' presence, his relationship with God was such that other people came to him and said, you teach me a thing or two about talking to God. That's high praise. That's a big compliment. We talked about Jesus with some of his closest followers, Peter, James, and John, a few sermons ago. And we talked about friendship. We talked about how we are around other people. And Jesus was an incredible spiritual presence around other people. It's one of the basic facets of his life, but it has recently come to the front of my mind and really impressed me that everywhere Jesus went, he was somebody who pleased the Lord. He was somebody who talked about the Bible. He was somebody who talked about God. In his friendships, in his day-to-day life, Jesus was a good Christian, and that's the way we want to be as well. You know, we want to follow Jesus' example in this area. And what we're seeing when we look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1, is that the disciples come to Jesus and they want to learn about prayer, understanding what prayer is. Prayer is our communication with God. They want to learn about this subject from Jesus himself. And so what comes next in Luke chapter 11, as well as Matthew chapter 6, are these instructions about prayer, this model prayer that is for the purpose of teaching them how to pray to God. And in the first place, Jesus says, we pray like this, "Our Father." We're learning, not so subtly, that prayer points to God. A prayer is to God, and not to anybody else. Not to the angels, not to the saints, not to the heroes in the Old Testament, the heroes in our Bible, of whom we have many. We do not pray to any of these people. We pray to God. God is the one who is able to answer our prayers and hear our prayers and act upon these prayers. God's the one who's all-powerful. God's the one who is omniscient. God's the one who is everywhere. Whether we find ourselves nailed to a cross or in the belly of a great fish, God's there. And we can speak to God from these places, wherever we may be. That's not true of anybody else. So we pray to our Father. And I love this aspect of this part of Jesus' teaching here. He says that when we address God, when we approach God, we do so with respect. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We have respect for God. There's reverence there. Our relationship with God is close. It's personal. It is real. But there's also respect. There's a real level of respect that we need to have for God. And Jesus doesn't get far in this teaching prayer without letting folks know, pray to God in a respectful manner. And then we pray. Jesus taught his followers to pray, thy kingdom come. We know from the benefit of 2020 biblical hindsight that the church is the kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, this is no shocker here. Glad you're sitting down for this. Matthew chapter 6 is before Matthew chapter 16. And it's in Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus talks to Peter about his church. You remember Jesus says to Peter, I will build my church. And then Jesus continues with that discussion about his church, but the terminology gets changed up just a little bit. This is not a confusing thing. No need to make this unnecessarily confusing. Jesus talks to Peter about his church, Jesus' church. Peter doesn't have a church. Jesus talks to Peter about his church, the Lord's church. And then Jesus says to Peter, I will give you the keys of this kingdom. Kingdom? Yeah, kingdom. Because Jesus' church is called a number of different things in Scripture. It's called a kingdom. It's called a body. It's called a family. It's called an army. And so Jesus is talking to Peter about the Lord's church, and Jesus calls it a kingdom. Matthew, the book of Matthew, was written primarily for Jews. It's an inspired book. God gave these words to Matthew, who would write them down and teach about the life of Christ. But Matthew's intended audience was the Jews. And the Jews had this idea of the kingdom stuck in their minds. And we see Matthew, by inspiration, catering to that fact. We see Matthew, by inspiration, tapping into that sentiment that the Jews had about the kingdom and teaching that this kingdom is the church. And in Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus is teaching his followers to pray, it had not been established yet. That's a key part of this passage. In Matthew chapter 6, even in Matthew chapter 16, which we glanced at a moment ago, this kingdom, this church, had not been established yet. It comes in Acts chapter 2. It comes in Acts chapter 2 where the church is established. The church is born. It comes into existence here on earth. And notice this. Before Acts chapter 2, the verbiage was, the kingdom is coming. Pray your kingdom come. Before Acts chapter 2, after Acts chapter 2, that verbiage changes slightly but significantly. And we have verses like Colossians 1:14. We have verses like Hebrews 12:28 and 29, which lets us know that the kingdom is here. It's now in existence. We are members of this kingdom. We are in it. We have received it. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, Jesus is teaching his followers to pray for the Lord's will to be done. We want what God wants here on earth. We want God's will to take place here. We know that God has a plan, and so Jesus is teaching his followers that we need to submit to God's plan. Your will next. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is letting his followers, and we are followers of his today. We're many multi-year separated followers of his, but we're followers of Jesus in a similar way as these folks that he's talking to in Matthew chapter 6. We're followers of his. So Jesus is teaching me, he's teaching you that we need to take our will and we need to make it subservient to God's will. There's something that we want. There are a lot of things that we want. But we need to focus on what God wants. And we need to make sure that what God wants comes first. We have busy lives. We have lots going on. We're rapidly approaching a very busy part of our calendars. And it might be easy if we don't focus like we should. It might be easy to, you know, just kind of think about what we want to do over the next several months that make up spring and summer. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? And what are we going to do as a family? These are all great things, fine and dandy. But God has a will. God has desires, and we need to make sure that we put what He wants first. Your will be done, Jesus taught his followers to pray. Are you praying for God's will to be done? I hope so. We've seen before that prayer makes a difference. Prayer has the ability to change things. So imagine if all of us start praying for God's will to be done. And not only pray those words, but look for ways. I think this is one of the built-in blessings of a healthy prayer life is that we're praying these prayers, but also we're subconsciously programming ourselves to see these things that we're praying to God for, to be a part of the solution, to be a part of the answer to our own prayers. How's that for a concept? We're praying to God for His will to be done, and we know that God wants our family to be saved. That's God's will. We're praying for God's will to be done, and we know that God wants our neighbors to come and be members of the Church of Christ. And so as we're praying to God for His will to be done, we're seeing in our own lives, in our own families, ways that we can let God's will run through our families and our friendships. And we're finding ways, if we're really tuned into this frequency here, we're finding ways that we can answer our own prayer. And we are utterly and completely relying on God, as is the focus of the next few words here, where Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Daily bread is a throwback to Old Testament times, where God would rain down from heaven manna for his followers, bread that they could eat daily, and it was their job daily to go and collect this bread. I love the way it's recorded for us in Luke chapter 11, verse 3. Luke chapter 11, verse 3 says, "Give us day by day our daily bread." And in the Old Testament, during this period of the Old Testament, God's people would get out there and they would gather this daily bread, just a day's portion, just a day's portion, interestingly enough. If they tried to gather more than a day's portion of bread, well, this bread wouldn't keep. God's instilling in us a concept of dependency. right? We are dependent on God. And by giving daily bread to his followers, he let them know that he's going to be there to provide for them daily. Their daily needs are going to be taken care of. Later on in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks to his followers about their worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Matthew 6, 25, Jesus says, "Don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink." These are basic, well, necessities, right? We call these necessities of life. Food, that's something you have to do to live. And Jesus is quite strangely saying, don't worry about this. Don't worry about one of the basic necessities of life. Well, that's kind of the point. Jesus goes on to explain that your life is more than food and drink. Your body's more than clothing. Jesus points to the birds of the air, verse 26, Matthew 6, 26. And Jesus says they're taken care of just fine. The birds of the air, they don't have IRAs. They don't have retirement accounts. They don't have savings accounts. they don't have a garage with tools in it. And they're just fine. Yeah, they're just fine. And they don't have all of these things that we fret over and worry about. And yet the Lord is taking care of them. And then here's where it gets real. Jesus says, you are more precious than these birds to God. God's taking care of these birds, and they don't have a fraction of the things going on in their life that we have going on in our life. And yet the Lord is taking care of them beautifully, magnificently. God is caring for them. And we are more precious to God than these birds. So live an active, productive life. Do things. Make good plans. Follow through with those plans. Have it all worked out and organized to your liking. But know that God is in control and that we are dependent on him. Jesus teaches next, forgive people. Forgive us of our debts. That's the part we like, isn't it? We want God's forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12a, the first part of that verse. You forgive us, God. Oh, we have messed up so much. And we want God's forgiveness. We need God's forgiveness. We glory in God's forgiveness. But do you see how Jesus is tying God's forgiveness of us to something else? That something else is our forgiveness of others. Forgiveness is a two-way street. We want the forgiveness that comes down from God to us. We want God to be generous and liberal with that forgiveness that he gives us. But when it comes to our forgiveness of others, we like to play by a different set of rules sometimes, right? When it comes to our forgiveness of others, we like to attach a whole bunch of strings. I'll forgive you if you do this and then this and then this and then go a long period of time without messing up again. Then I'll forgive you. That's not the way God forgives us. Repentance is a necessary prerequisite for forgiveness. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Forgiveness has to be preceded by repentance. All right? You can't forgive somebody of something that he's not willing to change or to acknowledge the wrongfulness of. But when that happens, right? When repentance has happened, when a change has happened, then that forgiveness, oh, it needs to gush out. It needs to just come in an overwhelming manner, because that's the way God forgives us. And if we want God to forgive us that way, we better get busy forgiving others that way. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive others. And then deliver us from evil. Or as some translations say, the evil one, which may be a little bit better. We acknowledge here our complete and utter dependence on God. We want to be strong, but we know we will never be stronger than God. And we will find ourselves in situations that are scary. We will find ourselves in situations that are frightening. And it's in those cases that we can turn to God for deliverance. I preached a sermon a while back on Psalm 23. Love that classic text. We're taking in some of the great classic texts of the Bible. Psalm 23, Matthew chapter 6. And in Psalm 23, you remember where David says, God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And that struck us. God is preparing a place for us in the presence of our enemies. You know why? Because God is not afraid of our enemies. The things that scare us don't scare God. The things that worry us, what's going to happen in the future? How are we going to pay for things? What's going to happen to my health later on in life? These things that seem all-consuming to us, God's not worried about them at all. People who want to harm us, or even worse, they don't scare God. God is able to deliver us. But we pray to God for that deliverance. As we close this morning, I want you to know that God is able to deliver you from the worst thing imaginable. What's the worst thing imaginable to you? Well, the worst thing, the truly worst thing imaginable, is being lost and spending forever away from God. You don't have to experience that. God can save you from that. If you hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, God will save you from that. As those of us who have obeyed that plan of salvation, hear, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, we know that we have a responsibility to continue our relationship with God, to continue learning from Jesus as a follower of His, to continue praying as we've looked at in Matthew chapter 6. We have a responsibility to continue all of these things, and we're not going to be perfect. So that forgiveness that we talked about is there for us if we need it, if we repent of our sins. If you need to do that this morning, we would love to help you. If you are ready to be baptized this morning, that is fantastic. We would be honored to help you as well. We invite you to come while we stand and sing, won't you please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.